The clock says it's time to start, so we'll get started on our class. I was going to ask some questions first, and then we'll finish up chapter 8 and then get into chapter 9. But again, each one of these is two questions from each of the first 8 chapters. And so I'll try to see what you know. Where was John baptizing? Barbara. If you look in verse 28, these things were done in Bethbartha beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. Okay. What was Peter's name by interpretation? Stone. Everybody ought to know that. All right. On what day was the marriage feast? The third day. Okay. What was another name for the governor of the feast? No, the ruler of the feast. He's also called. Okay. Why was John baptizing in Enon near to Salem? There's much water there, remember? Okay. John said he was not the bridegroom, but was what? A what? No, not a groomsman. Friend of the bridegroom. He was a friend of the bridegroom. Okay. How many people did Jesus baptize? Zero. Okay. How many months till the harvest did he say? You look at the harvest, you say there's yet how many months to harvest? How many? Four. 4 months to harvest. All right. Where in the Jerusalem was this pool located? It said it was next to something. Anybody remember? Where in Jerusalem was the pool of Bethesda located? Yeah, the sheep market. Okay. I told her all these before we left. Who asked the man who made you whole? It wasn't the Pharisees at this time. It was, well, they were the Pharisees, but what were they called in John? Remember what I said the leaders were called? Jews. The Jews asked that, okay? The scriptures say, no, I missed it. Wait a minute, I jumped too far. What's another name for the Sea of Galilee? Sea of Tiberias, yes. Where was Jesus when he taught this hard saying? You remember he's in chapter 6, he taught and he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part in me. But where was he at? The Bible tells us where he was when he taught this. He's in Capernaum in a synagogue. Okay. The scriptures say that Christ will come out of the seed of who? David. Okay. Why didn't the officers take Jesus as they were commanded? What's that? It wasn't his time, but there was another reason they gave. Fear the people? No. No man ever spake like this. Remember, he said, no man ever spake like this, and they didn't take him, okay? Where was Jesus teaching when the woman taken in adultery was brought to him? In the temple. Okay. And last one, when did Jesus say, you will know who that I am? When did he tell the people, you'll know who I am? No? Anybody? When he would be lifted up. When he would die, you would know who he was. That's what he told him. Okay, we're in chapter 8, at near the end of the chapter, and Jesus is telling them that if a man follow me, if a man keep my saying, he shall never die. Now, I wanted to sort of go over that a little bit this morning before we start our class on this. What Jesus meant. Now, Jesus was teaching that a man would never die spiritually. And so, as we look at this, the Bible teaches some things about death that we need to know. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, can anybody quote that? It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So, everybody's going to die, okay? Now, Joshua said in Joshua 23 and verse 14, when he was getting ready to die, he says, I go the way of all the earth. And David said the same thing in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. I go the way of all the earth. In other words, you know, it was just everybody died. Now, we know from the Bible there was two people that didn't die. Who was that? Who? Enoch. Yeah. And who else? Elijah. Okay. What else do we know about Enoch? He walked with God. But there's something else that's a little bit different about Enoch. And we read this in the book of Jude. Enoch was the first one to prophesy. He was the seventh from Adam. But he's the first one known as a prophet. I think that's interesting. But anyway, we know that all people die. But what's important is when we die, that we have our name in the book of life. That's the key to the whole thing of living. I think of Lynn just a few weeks ago recorded her name in the book of life when she obeyed the gospel. And that's, Jesus talks about, and even from the Old Testament, it talks about the book of life. Moses in Exodus 32:32, when the children of Israel had sinned, and he asked God to forgive them, and God was having trouble with this, and Moses says, if you don't forgive them, just blot my name out of the book of life. And so even from the Old Testament, God has always kept a record in the book of life. I want you to look, I'm going to have you look at some of these scriptures. Somebody, Tony, you turn, if you would, and read Luke 10 and verse 20. And Jason, you read Philippians 4 and verse 3. And Sam, if you would, read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. And Cole, if you would, or I guess you got your hands full. I'll let Richie read. Richie, if you read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. I want you to listen to this concerning the book of life. Because all these scriptures talk about this. Okay, Tony. Tony is reading in Luke chapter 10. And I'll just give a brief background of what's happening. The 70 had been sent out, and they come back, and they were happy that even the devils were subject to them. And Jesus told them then in 20 and verse 10, okay, Tony, read it. 10 and verse 20, I'm sorry.
Okay, don't rejoice.
He said, you know, don't be so proud that the cause of spirits are subject to you, but be proud because your names are written in heaven. Okay? And who was next? Philippians 4:3, okay? Okay, Paul there is talking about those that work with him, those that helped him, their names are in the book of life. Okay, Hebrews 12:23, Sam.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Okay. To the general assembly, to the church, whose names are written in heaven. Okay? And then Revelation 3:5.
The one who conquers will be clothed with dust in white garments. I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Okay. So there he's talking about, you know, your name. Although we record our name when we obey the gospel, if we're unfaithful, God can blot our names out of that book. It can be taken out. Now, it can be taken out, but if we repent, it can be put back again. And so, but God has it. There's a book of life. And this is important. Now, I want all of us to turn to Revelation 20 and verse 11 through 15 and notice this. And this is what Jesus here is talking about when he says they would never die. He's talking about the second death. Notice this. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, when it talks about the books were open, this is talking about the Bible. The Bible is not just one book. It's 66 books. The books were open. Remember, Jesus says in John 12:48, the words that I have spoken to you, the same will judge you in the last day. Now, we're going to be judged by the Bible. That's why it's so important that we know what the Bible says and follow what it's saying. And so we could say there that the Bible was open. And then another book was open, which is the book of life that we've been talking about. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, that is, the Bible, that they were judged out of what the Bible says, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Now notice this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so you see that on the judgment day, the Bible is going to be open. And we're going to be judged by those things that God has written to us. And then there's another book going to be open, and that's the book of life. And if we've been faithful to Christ and obeyed His will, our name is going to be recorded there. And this is what Jesus is talking about. If a man hear my sayings and do them, he'll never die because he won't taste this second death. So that's what I wanted to get. Does everybody understand that? Has anybody got questions on that? I don't want to confuse you. Well, I think the New Testament is what we live under today. That's what we're going to be judged by. I think so. The law of Christ. We're not going to be judged by the law of Moses. Although the Romans 15:4 tells us the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience might have knowledge of the scriptures. Well, those things are important. You know, when I look at the Old Testament, the thing that I take away from the Old Testament more than anything else is, and you need to notice this, God always blessed those who were obedient to Him, and He always punished those who were disobedient. Now, some were disobedient and came back to God, like David. He sinned with Bathsheba, but he repented and came back to God, and so God forgave him. But those who wouldn't repent, they suffered punishment. And so we need to realize that this was God's law then for them, and the New Testament is our law for us today. And we're to listen to what Jesus says, what the Gospels say, and what the Scriptures of the epistles teach us, and follow them. And that's what God is going to judge us from. And so it's very important. Like I say, when we put our name in the book of life and our name is there, we won't taste this death that they're talking about. And this is what Jesus is talking about in the book of John. If you obey my will, you'll never taste death. You won't taste this second death. And so it's so, to me, this scripture is so, I don't know, it just makes chills go over you when you look at it to read that. And so, let's go back then to chapter 8. Anybody else have any questions on that? Okay, let's go back to chapter 8. Notice then, Jesus said in verse 51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Again, talking about this second death, that is being separated from God for eternity. Then the Jews said unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death." Now, again, they were looking at the physical death. Of course, Abraham and the prophets were dead. Abraham had been dead for probably 2,000 years. And so he says, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thyself?" And Jesus answered and said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me." Again, talking about his relationship with the Father. "Of whom you say that he is your God. And yet you have not known him. But I know him. And if I say I know him, I shall know him not. I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings." Now, ain't that harsh to say to somebody that you know, that you're a liar. You're not confessing the truth. And you know, there was no way they did not know who Jesus was. There was no way. All the prophets had foretold of this, and they knew the scriptures, but he wasn't the type of king they were looking for. Jesus was talking about a spiritual kingdom. They were talking about a physical kingdom. And they would deny him. Just one scripture I want to show you. Turn to Acts chapter 4, I believe it is. Let me make sure. Yes, chapter 4. Here they had arrested Peter and John, told them not to teach anymore in the name of Christ. And look at verse 15 and 16. Look what they said here. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves." Now they had them in the council, and they took Peter and John out of the council, and then they began to talk among themselves. Look here what they said. "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem." Notice, "and we cannot deny it." They just wasn't being true. They, you know, no man could do these things except he be from God or God with him. And that's why the last verse in the book of John says, if the things were written, many other signs truly did Jesus do. If they were written, the books of the world couldn't contain them themselves. That's how many signs and miracles and things he did. Just a multitude. And so they had no excuse at all. And he called them. He said, if I say I don't know him, I'd be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. And then he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Now, how did Abraham see his day when Abraham's been dead for 2,000 years? What? Yes, they're right, but it was through the eye of faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and just notice this. It said concerning those when it talked about Abraham there in verse 8, and then Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and others. In verse 13 it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they knew God would keep his promise. And I don't know. I often wondered if we don't have a record of this in the Bible that Jesus ever appeared to Abraham. But now Jesus did appear to two other Old Testament persons. Who was that? Moses and Elijah. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? They were brought back. And that's when Peter said, it's good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. And God said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And so he did see. And I don't know if Jesus ever appeared to Abraham and told him, this is my day. I don't know. The Bible says that Abraham's seen his day. And maybe it's through the eye of faith that we read there from Hebrews. Or maybe, perhaps, Jesus some way showed Abraham. We know that Abraham was in paradise from the story in Luke 17 of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember the Lazarus had gone and he was in Abraham's bosom. And as a matter of fact, the rich man spoke to Abraham and Abraham said, they got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he was saying, you know, if you send somebody back from the dead to my brothers, they won't come to this place. He said, you got Moses and the prophets. You listen to them. So Abraham spoke from there. Now, whether, I don't know, like I say, I don't have any idea how this happened. But anyway, Abraham probably would have known what was going on. What do you think of that? I don't know. I don't want you to just take my opinion on it. Tony, what do you think?
Well, I think that Abraham knew the promise, and that was, he knew that it was true, I mean, because of his faith. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no record of Jesus ever appearing to him, but of course, Jesus was Lord over the places of paradise and heaven, and so Abraham may have had some access to that. I don't know. But then the Jews, notice, said to him, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see this day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said unto him, thou art yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. They questioned him on this and say, well, you're not even 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Well, how'd that happen?
Verify.
What?
He's making the claim that he's God.
Yes. He's showing that he is deity. He is one of the I Ams. You remember what Moses was told when he was going into Israel? Say that who sent him? The I Am. And so when they heard this, and they knew this, they knew what this was. Notice, they took up stones to cast at him. They were going to kill him because of this again. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And so Jesus didn't, again, this would have to be in the providence of God. It wasn't his hour yet. It wasn't the time for them to kill him yet. Jesus was predestinated to die on the cross for the sins of the people. And it wasn't his time to go. And so he went through the midst of them again and passed by them, and they didn't see him. So anybody have any other things on chapter 8? Chapter 9, the whole chapter is talking about this man that was blind, that was healed. And so it's, you see that the Pharisees in this and the Jews try every way they can to deny this. They even asked this guy two times about it. You know, who healed you? He says, well, I told you once and you wouldn't listen. I mean, he was, you know, they were trying everything they could. And the one thing they had against the people was they, if they confessed Jesus, they were put out of the synagogue. Now, when they were put out of the synagogue, it wasn't just the fact that they couldn't go to the synagogue to worship. I mean, that wasn't all that was involved. They were set aside because of social reasons. No, nobody would socialize. None of the other Jews would socialize with them. And they would lose businesses. If they had a business, it was like the Gentiles. None of the Jews would deal with them or help them. And so that was a big thing when they were put out of the synagogue, because they would lose almost, it's like, what if somebody just take your job and no more socialize, no more talk to you or anything, and keep away from you, and then you couldn't even come to the worship place. Think of that. No wonder the people, you know, when the Jews threatened them with that, sort of backed down and said, you know, because they asked his parents, and his parents feared they'd be put out of the synagogue, and they said, you asked him, he's of age. Don't ask us. We know that's our son, but don't ask us. And so they didn't, you know, want to be set aside like that, where nobody would even be with them socially, in business, or religiously. They would lose, you know, everything if that happened to them. And so Jesus here then, as he passed by, he saw a man that was blind from birth. Now, usually when these healings took place, it wasn't somebody that was blind from birth. A lot of times it was somebody that had grown up and then for some reason blindness had struck them. And so this seems to be a little different. And so his disciples asked him, saying, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, most people think that when somebody had a deficiency in their health, that either that person had sinned or the parents had sinned and caused this. Well, now we know the blind man couldn't have caused it because he was born that way. And so it couldn't have been something he'd done. But, you know, today, when you think of it, there are kids that are born with drugs in them because their parents are druggies. And so, you know, it's not the child's fault, but because of the parent's sins, then that child is born that way. And so, but the apostles asked him, his disciples asked him, who sinned in this matter? And Jesus answered and said, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. And so he said, neither one of them sinned. This was just for the works of God. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I think they would have known that, but they thought that the actions or things that would happen to them, they were being punished by God.
Yes, and they were looking over, you know, their eyes were blinded to the truth. They were just looking ahead to what they could get out of this. How can we, like we talked about in our next four, we know something happened and we can't deny it, but what can we do? What can we do to these guys? How can we get out of this? Well, they decided then that they'd take them and beat them again and tell them not to teach no more in the name of Christ. And so they tried anything. And so Jesus says then, as long as I must do the works of him that sent me, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And, of course, he had works to do that he wanted to get done. And of course, when the night cometh, it's talking about probably when he would die and no longer be there to do this work. And so, notice, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And so, again, as Christians, we're the light of the world. We're the only light the world has now. And that's what Jesus teaches us in Matthew 5. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when he had spoken, notice, and again, this is a different method he uses. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And so Jesus never had a pattern that he used to heal people. Some people he touched. Here he told us he anointed this man's eyes with spittle and clay that he had got from the ground. Sometimes he spoke. Sometimes he wasn't even in the same location. You remember earlier in the book of John chapter 4, the nobleman's son was healed, was in another city. And he came to Jesus and in Cana of Galilee, and the son was in Capernaum. And the son was healed because Jesus wasn't even close to him. And so he didn't have a set pattern. If you watch a lot of times these, if you ever seen any of these healings on TV, they got a set pattern they go through on every one of them. But Jesus didn't have anything like that where man could say this was the way it was done. He healed people in so many different ways. And so here he healed by putting this on his eyes, and he told him to go wash, and he went and washed and came seeing. Notice the man, he required something from the man too. You go to the pool and you wash and you'll come seeing. Now notice verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen that he was blind said, is this not he that sat and begged. Again, when you think of this, somebody that's their eyes have always been closed, and probably maybe he after he was able to see, he cleaned himself up possibly and changed his clothes and sort of had a different appearance. And so when the neighbors saw him, they wasn't sure this is the man, you know. Here he is. His eyes are open. He's maybe he's got different clothing on. He's not one that sat and begged like this. And so they said, is this him? Have you ever noticed on TV, and I was talking to Sue the other day about this, they show these people that they advertise this Golo to lose weight, and they show people that's lost 100 pounds or so, and they show pictures of them, and you see a picture of them when they had this 100 pound on them, and you see a picture of them when they've lost it, you can hardly tell that's the same person. It's hard sometimes to tell when they've lost that much weight. And so this man evidently had changed his appearance a little bit. And so the neighbors said, which brought the neighbors therefore, and they that which before had seen him that was blind said, is this not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But notice, but he said, I am he. The man himself confessed, I'm the one that was blind. I'm the one that sat and begged. And so he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? And he says, I know not. Now, Jesus evidently had done this and then went away from him. He was healed. And, of course, Jesus didn't stay there for the man to talk to him that much. But he said, this man named Jesus did this. I did what he told me to do. And now I see. And I don't know where he is. So they brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. They took the man then to the Pharisees. And it was the seventh day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not a God, because he keepeth not the seventh. And others says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracle? And there was division among them. Again, they go to this thing that Jesus had broke the seventh day law. And you remember what Jesus told them, even the last chapter we studied? Remember what he said, if a child is born and it happens to be the seventh day, which is the eighth day of the child's life here on earth, you take that child and you circumcise it. And he says, you know, why can't I make somebody whole on that day? Why can't I do something good? You're doing something good. Why can't I do something good on that day? They had all kinds. There was just a multitude of laws that they had that they could get around and do what they wanted to. I think, Jimmy, what was it you was telling me about the...
So they had like their customs. If they said if a building fell down on somebody, they could get enough off to figure out if he was alive or not. And if it was a Jew, they were allowed to get him out. But if it was a Gentile, they had to leave until the next day.
Yeah, they have all these different laws. Yes, Tony?
This, Jimmy. Oh, okay. Was there anything where they're like, I was thinking about that when you mentioned it last week, was if they have kids are playing, if they cut themselves, were they allowed to bandage it? I mean,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, it said something about ear infections, like if your ear was hurting, you could put something in it, but you couldn't put medicine. If you got cut, you could bandage it, but they couldn't, like, stitch it up. It was... Yeah, they had all kinds of laws. And it wasn't a law, it was just their custom.
Yeah. God never restricted that. And of course, Jesus told them one other time that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He was the one, he's God, he's the one that made the seventh, and so he had the right to do what he wanted to on the seventh. But anyway, when they found out this, they said, oh, this man can't be of God because he don't keep the seventh. He done it on the seventh. But notice, others says, if he's not of God, if he's a sinner like you say, how can he do these miracles? How could he make this man, who everybody knew was blind from birth, see? How could he do that if he's not from God? And that's the same thing that Nicodemus said. A man can't do these miracles except God be with him. And so he couldn't. And so they were divided on this. If he's a sinner, how can he do this? And so then they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. The blind man recognized, hey, you know, he's a prophet. Now, later on in the chapter, when he says something, they say to him, thou wast born in sin, and thou tries to tell us what to say. You know, in other words, you're not smart. We're the smart ones, you know. And they try to tell the blind man this. You don't know what you're talking about because you try to tell us this. But the blind man said, they said unto the blind man, what sayest thou? And he said, he that opened thine eyes, he said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now, they wouldn't believe this, although all the people witnessed it and knew it was him. And they said, well, it looks like him. And he says, I am he. I'm the one that was blind. And now I see. I was blind from birth, and now I see. And by the way, this man was probably over 30 years old. I say that because the parent says, he is of age, asked him. And usually 30 years old was the time when they considered a Jewish person of age. That's why Jesus, when he started his ministry, you remember how old he was? 30 years old. And so this man, I don't know how old he was, but at least he probably was at least 30 years old. And so now they go to the parents, and but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents, again, were afraid of that being put out of the synagogue. So notice how they answered. His parents answered them and said, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, asked him, he shall speak for himself. And notice this, this word spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And his parents said unto them then again, he's of age, asked him. They were afraid to make this confession, to say it was Jesus who healed him. The man now said, a man called Jesus healed me. And so they knew that he said, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind and he now sees, but you know, we're innocent of it. We don't know anything about it. You know, we don't want, again, like I say, if they were put out of the synagogue, they were completely isolated from society. It was almost like having a disease. They wouldn't deal with them anymore. They wouldn't associate with them anymore. They couldn't religiously come to the synagogue to worship anymore. And so that was a big deal for them. And so the parents then are doing this because of this, the fear of them being put out of the synagogue.
Do you think the parents actually knew?
Knew. Healed him?
Yeah.
I think so. I think they did. I think they... Yeah.
Just leave him hanging out there and let him fend for himself. You know, that just blows my mind when I read all that stuff. I don't understand.
Most of the blind people did. That's how they made their living, was by or those that were lame. Mm-hmm. You remember in Acts chapter 3, the man that laid at the gate beautiful, that Peter and John came, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Nazareth, rise up and walk." Huh?
Did the parents just leave them there and not take them?
Evidently, yeah. And sometimes they would have people, friends and neighbors, would carry them to the place where they would beg or you know, be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, and like I say, in Max's case, what if somebody would heal Max? Would you deny them? No.
No,
you wouldn't be. Yeah.
This,
right, this is a great thing, yes. All right, we'll begin there Wednesday night.